Johnson. Oh, going for the championship, that ain't coming close. This might require taking notes, homie, listen close. Serendipity when you know, you the one who chose. We going past the end zone, crushing every goal. I feel it in my enzymes, in my chromosomes. If you ain't come outside to go hard, then go back home. I'm in my zone, if it ain't greatest, I'm better left alone. This for the world, put what we speaking on speakerphone. Yeah, Wills, let them know what we be on. Serendipity, man, tune in.
What's going on, good people? Welcome to Serendipity. I'm Inky Johnson here with my brother.
I'm Oak. What's happening, good people? Glad that you guys could join us for this latest dialogue that we're about to embark upon.
Absolutely, man. You know, just always want to extend that gratitude, you know, and let you all know, man, we appreciate it. You know, we greatly appreciate it. Oak, how was your day?
You know, it was good. It was good. Anytime we get a chance to interact with teachers, mm-hmm. students, every day I'm just grateful, man. Just grateful that I get the opportunity to change the world. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes I pop up and then I go back down because my knees ain't no good. Then other times it's a slow roll, right?
No doubt.
On the ride to work, you know, I feel like God is talking to me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. You know, it doesn't feel like a job.
Right on.
Right? Feel like a purpose. And today was just another one of those days. Had some wins. In fact, if I think about it, Ink, man, I didn't have no losses today. Mm. Didn't have no losses. I had a couple meetings with teachers, and they were excited. I went to see them, and they're teaching and giving the young people what they got.
No doubt.
And those young folks are picking it up. It looks like they're picking it up, and I think they're picking it up. I felt like they were picking it up.
Yeah.
So.
No doubt. Which, well, man, get into this quote card by D. Sugar Boo. It reads, "It isn't the thing you do. It's the thing you leave undone, which gives you a bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word forgotten, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, or your hunting ghost at night. It isn't the thing you do. It's the thing you leave undone, which gives you a bitter heartache at the setting of the sun."
You don't want no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want regrets in your life because those are the things you can't change. It's probably better that you go make a mistake and be able to rectify the mistake than if you just didn't do it at all. If somebody comes across your mind, right? Mm. And you don't call, as opposed to you call and they didn't pick up.
Yeah, man.
Like I've been doing you the past 3 days. But anyway. but anyway, it's about your intentionality.
Yes, sir.
So that you really don't want to lay your head on your pillow, however you lay your head at night. You don't want to have any regrets. You don't want to have any work undone in terms of what was on your heart.
Yeah. Man.
But the catch ain't, though, we get caught up in what other people want us to do, what other people have mandated us to do, what our responsibilities in life are, mm-hmm. right? You got a job. Okay, you got to do A, B, C, D, E, and F. Mm. If you don't get to E and F, you feel bad.
Yeah.
Right? Or you start blaming yourself. You start thinking less of yourself for whatever reason. But what about at 11 o'clock and you thought about your homeboy or your homegirl or your sister or your brother that you said, "I'm going to call them," and you never got around to call them? Mm. In that moment, that was God telling you they need you.
Mm.
Their spirit needs your spirit. They need to hear you, which is why it's so important when people reach out to you or when you reach out to people, it's for a reason other than just, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yes, sir.
Or it's for a reason other than or bigger than just whatever you guys might have going on. You may have some business transactions or whatnot. But from a spiritual standpoint, especially the state that we're in the sense of we're so becoming more and more isolated and living in ISOs, when people are reaching out or when people are trying to get next to you, mm-hmm. take that as opportunity to answer God's call.
Yes, sir.
For real. So
picking that up.
It's like those things that are undone, as the card says, let's be intentional about those. Let's be intentional about when we think about something, let's do it, especially on a spiritual level. Now, on a job level, whatever, if you get to it, you get to it. But on your spiritual level, yes, let's get it. Let's get it, boss.
That's real, man. I love it. It says, it isn't the things that you do, it's the things that leave. That you leave undone that gives you heartache at the setting of the sun. It isn't the things you do, it's the things that you leave undone that gives you heartache at the setting of the sun. Like, Oak, I feel like, man, as people, I'm guilty of it. I feel like we take life for granted so much, man. I remember telling one of my buddies, like, man, like, you speaking like life done guaranteed you something. Right. And like when I said the quote a while ago, when I said one of the most underrated blessings is leaving our house and making it back home every single day. Mm-hmm. Right. Like mm-hmm. I meant that. Right. But I'll never forget, man, when me and my son got in that accident up on that bridge, man, it was raining and that truck was flipping. And like I realized I had no control. Right. And me and my son in the situation, this truck flipping, I thought it was going to flip off. You know, the little retainer wall down. I'm like, man, like, we can die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can die.
It becomes like slow motion. Though.
Yeah. And my son says, Dad, I feel like we're about to die. And I never forget when the truck stopped, situation unfolds, when my wife comes, you know, we hug my wife, get in the car, we riding home. And, like, it was almost like we was just all in, like, a maze, right?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Oak, like, I looked around at my daughter, and Jada is kind of like even keel, just her personality. Jada crying, right? My wife crying. My son crying. When I get home and sit down in our room in the chair, tears start coming from my eyes, right? And I remember the next day I told my wife, I said, I got to take ink and we got to go back across that bridge where we had that accident. And she was like, already? I was like, yeah, we got to go ahead and attack it. Just get across it. So every time he rides by that space and place, he doesn't feel the anxiety and think something is going to happen. But I remember from that day moving forward, it instilled a certain level of urgency in me and my family's life. Mm-hmm. Not that we're rushing things, but just in terms of experiences, capturing experiences. Like when COVID happened, I remember looking at my phone and I'm like, man, all the work I do, I ain't really got no pictures like that with coaches, with people. So I said, after COVID, when I start back working, man, I'm gonna take advantage of it. I'm gonna get pictures. Just so happened, I spoke to Alabama this year, Nick Saban's last year, right? We in the office. Coach, let's flick it up. Yeah, Ink, let's flick it up, man. Get the picture. Been speaking to him since 2015. Mm-hmm. That was my first time getting a picture with him, though, because of something that happened that made me appreciate life and not want to look at life like, man, I got all these things undone that I was doing in terms of my work, but the experiences of enjoying it, I don't have that. And so even with writing letters, man, to my children, to my wife, like I think about that all the time, that one day my son would be sitting with something that I wrote to him. My daughter be sitting with something that I wrote to her. And so it's like, I love the quote that says, I don't fear success. I fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter, right? And to me, when it says that, it's like, it's not the things that you do. It's the things that you leave undone that gives you heartache at the setting of the sun. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. And I really like when you talk about writing the letters, right?
Yeah.
So as a educational leader, one of the things that I found that allowed me to connect with my teachers,
mm-hmm.
or with teachers, and not my teacher, but with teachers, and even with mentees who are teachers, is I write them letters and write them notes. So oftentimes, like every 2-3 months or so, they'll come into their room and I've already have a note written for them. Mm-hmm. Just saying how much I appreciate it. Just saying I see them.
A lot.
And that, you know, Teacher Appreciation Week is in May, first week of May. So if y'all got some teachers out there, make sure you take care of them. Your student teachers, take care of them. Yet, the thing that means, I think that means the most from the feedback that I've gotten is like they have these notes. They just keep them. Mm. Over the years, they say, oh, you remember when you wrote this to me?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Big time.
It's about appreciation. It's about showing gratitude. It's about seeing people, man. Like, we look at people, but we don't see people.
Yeah, that's deep. Pick that up, man.
In fact, this morning, my homeboy, who is a principal at Langston Hughes, and I just hit him up. We hadn't talked. You know, he's busy doing life stuff, but really working. You know, being a principal, high school principal, for real, I never want to do that. But
folks, I never want to.
No. That's a whole different type of lifestyle, man. It changes your lifestyle, for real.
Yeah.
Being a high school principal changes your lifestyle. But it was something hit me just to call him, just to say, bro, I'm just checking on you. And then we had a long conversation. We went into some personal stuff that he had been carrying. And probably, I'm pretty sure, didn't have any other outlet because of the relationship that we have.
Yes, sir.
So it was all in ordained order.
Mm.
But if I would have missed that call that was telling me, call him.
Mm.
And normally, he's like you. When I call, you don't pick up.
Mm. Yeah.
So when he picked up, I was like, oh, man. That was God's echo.
Yeah.
So it sent me in another direction of, how you doing, bro? Like for real, how you doing? Because normally I ask people how they're feeling. So in this moment, how you feeling? Mm. Can you put language to your feeling?
Yeah.
But I ask him, how was he doing?
Mm.
Because in my heart, it was, he was going through some stuff.
Mm.
I didn't know it. I was just feeling it. You know what I'm saying? So that's going circling back to God's echo. When something is put on your heart, follow it. Follow it. You can't go wrong. When something is on your heart, that is God just poking at you. I remember Ray Lewis saying when he was in Fulton County Jail, and he kept saying, hearing. God saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We don't want God to have to keep calling us.
Mm.
We don't want to have God keep trying to hear our voice message.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because you know the people. You know the spirits. Like, when this person calls, it's something. Like, I promise you right now, if Baba was called me right now, we're going to have to stop taping.
Because
it's something, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? But we look at it like, okay, if my daughter calls, my son calls, my wife calls, whatever, okay, it must be important in terms of what's going on in the physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the spiritual realm, those folks, when they call, it's something.
Absolutely.
That's all. That's all.
I want to thank one of my boys, man. I ain't gonna say his name, but something happened. He lost his father. And at the time when he lost his father, he said life was busy living, you know, and one thing led to another. And his father left him a voicemail. And when his father left him the voicemail, he's like, all right, I'm gonna hit him back. You know, I get back to him. And the next call, bro, you know, the person picked it up and was like, man, your pop's gone. Now, I'll never forget, he was playing me that voicemail and the conviction that the voicemail had for me with my own pops. Because at the time, like, I forget about my phone, man. I sit my phone down and be running.
Yeah, of course.
Dad had been a hit me, mama hit me. All right, I'm gonna hit you back, I'm gonna get back. And when I was listening to that voicemail and I saw my boy Tears, like it landed in a different way. You know what I'm saying? When you can hear that voice, but they gone.
Yeah.
And you like, man, I could have picked up that call. Or, man, I should have picked up that call. And so, man, don't ever take your people for granted. Don't ever take things for granted. Don't ever take opportunities for granted, man. You know?
Yeah, that's real. We can go on all day about that, man.
I got some. I got some for us, though. I realized this the other day, Oak. I was talking to somebody. We going back and forth. We pitching and catching. And I said, some people operate by emotions. Other people operate by principles.
Mm-hmm.
Morals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this person that I was talking to, great person, intelligent, knowledgeable, but they were so emotional that they were just writing off situation. Oh, no, forget that, man. Forget that. Boom. I'm like, bro, like, you can't do that with him. Like, you can't just X out this person. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You're doing that based off of your emotions. Like, from a principle standpoint, like, you got to have some principles. You got to have some guiding principles. And some, like, bro, you got to operate by something. You know what I'm saying? Like, what helps you, Oak, just in terms of as you navigate throughout life, situation, circumstance? Now, some things make us emotional.
Yeah.
Right? But your discernment and how you operate, principles and all of that, navigate that landscape.
For me, it's you have two choices, right? You call it emotions. I call it either you functioning off your principles or your preference.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the most important thing to be able to do is tell yourself the truth.
Yeah.
Which is, yes, I'm functioning off my preference right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I'm less than my best, because I understand and I believe when you walk in and functioning off your principle is when you're walking in your best.
Right.
Yet it's cool. Sometimes it is your preference. Sometimes it is. It's my preference not to wash the dishes until I get ready.
All right.
But how that disturbs the principle of a peaceful household.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It disturbs it.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So now I got to be able to say, okay, I know the consequences of what's about to happen by me walking in my preference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make some people mad.
Yeah, say that part again.
I'm so going
to pick that up.
I'm
look at the camera.
I'm
going to
make some people mad. In fact, you're going to make people mad when you walk off your preference.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever you will have to apologize for walking in your principle.
Mm. Mm.
It's your principle.
Taking it
meaning,
out.
it withstands the test of time.
Yes.
It's not about you.
Yes.
It's bigger than you. It's something that encapsulates how you view the world, how you view God, how you view the universe, whatever it may be. So if somebody got a problem with that, that's a you issue.
Mm-hmm. Talk about
now,
that.
If it's my principle, if I'm walking on my principle, I'm inviting a fight, possibly. Yeah. I'm poking the bear.
Yeah.
Right? You lay on one side of the bed and mess it up and whoop, and get up and go on about your business. That's your preference.
Uh-huh.
The principle is leave something better than you found it.
Yes, indeed.
So if I don't fix the bed,
mm-hmm.
then now I'm inviting the fight. I'm inviting whatever is going to come after that because I walked in my principle.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is every single decision that you make, ask yourself, is this my principle or my preference?
Mm-hmm.
And it will be your compass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will be your moral compass if it's your principle. It will be your individual compass if it's your preference. Right? And so you just got to be willing to deal with, when you're walking in your preference, the consequences.
Yes, indeed.
So for me, that's just how I just navigated. My principle or my preference. Period, point blank.
Yeah, because if you don't operate with principle, man, you're not only going to ride the emotional roller coaster, like you're going to be at other people's disposal.
Yep.
Like I firmly believe there's certain things that you should be guided by and you stand on it. You know what I'm saying? Like I was telling the young people, like the thing that was so magnificent and extraordinary about Dr. King, to me, one of the things was that he didn't have to do what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of his journey, in terms of his mm-hmm. life's work, like he didn't have to take that route. And the fact that cats would call the crib like, man, I'm gonna kill your wife, I'm gonna kill your children if you keep doing this. And he like, yep, whatever, boom. Hey, let's go galvanize, let's march, let's do. Like, that was rooted in something that was a lot deeper than anything that they could have said. And so even in, I look at, like, in terms of my career and the journey and the path that I've been on, and, like, people have offered me things along the way, and it sounds good, cute, feels good, but in terms of who I am, how I've been raised, how I operate, how I live my life, like, it wasn't that deep to me. And it was some cats that was around me that couldn't understand, like, how it wasn't that deep to me, right? Because I'm not guided by that. Like, that's not what I'm rooted in. Like, so you offering me a figure, a number, and telling me what I can and what I can't do, that really ain't going to move me. Like, I ain't really tripping on that. Because principle-based, my foundation, I ain't tripping on that. I came up two-bedroom house, four. Like, that ain't nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? I was raised by people that... they didn't put a premium on money. They put a premium on how you treated people, mm-hmm. right? How you showed up, how you did your work. I don't care if you busting a driveway with a sledgehammer. Did you give everything you got to? I don't care if you picking up trash. I don't care if you washing cars. I don't care if you flipping burp. Did you give everything you got to it? It wasn't based upon how much money they making. It wasn't based upon who do they know? Who could they put you in contact with? Man, did you treat them right? Did you show them respect? When the elders came through, did you hold the door? Right? That's how I was raised. And so for me, principle is everything. You know what I'm saying? You got to stand on something, man.
And I think principle, what it allows you to do is have a sense of freedom.
Yes, sir.
Because what I mean by that is it's your choice.
Mm.
Right? It's your choice to treat people right. It's right. Your choice to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice to do and be a good person.
Mm.
And you don't have to sell anything for it.
Right.
We have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of conversation, dialogue in social media, whatever, with the Cat Williams situation, Taraji B. Henson, Taraji, whatever, and all of that type stuff, Monique. And what I find just so compelling is the people who don't chase money,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, are able to tell their truth and not have to go back and not have to jump through anybody's hoops.
Right.
People who tell their truth, who live their truth, even though you may have 7, 8 figures and I may have 3 figures,
mm-hmm.
but the peace and tranquility I get is worth way more than them 8 figures that you have.
Mm.
Now, you may not believe that. Whoever's listening to me, you may still believe that those 7 and 8 figures is the thing.
Mm.
That's your business.
Mm.
Old folks say keep them living. What you're going to realize, you're not going to be able to take that into no grave with you. Mm. At the end of the day, the people around you, the worst fear a man or woman can have is to die alone.
Yes, indeed.
Which means you have treated so many people and burnt so many bridges along the way. That's the saddest death in the world.
Yes, indeed.
So the thing is, you can control being a good person. I can't control how much money or what you value what I do.
Mm.
You may value what I do at $500,000. You may value what I do at $50.
Mm-hmm.
But what I value in terms of what I do and feeding this kid or feeding this young person or taking in this young fella, getting him off the street and taking him from one neighborhood and bringing him to live with me.
Right.
That's why I say I'm rich.
No question.
The number of young folks that I've impacted, and I'm going to own that.
Yeah, for sure.
Me and Warren Buffett can sit side by side, bro.
Sure, for sure. For sure, for sure. Yeah. Picking it up. Got some, man, I want to pitch and catch with Oak called the dichotomy of control.
Okay.
Distinction between the things that are up to us in our control and the things that are not to us out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
The dichotomy of control. The chief task in life is simply this: to identify and to separate what matters so I can clearly say to myself which are externals, not under my control, and which have choices are in my control. The chief task in life is simply to understand the things that are in our control and the things that are not in our control. The dichotomy of control, what's up to us and what's not up to us. I put it to my children like this. I always say to my children, MYOB. So if we out, something happens, something pop off, they go to snooze and MYOB. MYOB. They say, mind your own business. Mind your own business.
Yeah.
Right? What's in your control? MYOB. As soon as I say it, pops, I got you. Right? Yeah. That's interesting though, man. What's in our control and what's out of our control because...
But this for me, before we get started, man, I'm slow as water up a dirt head. So a dichotomy, what you mean by dichotomy?
Man, they say the distinction, man.
Yeah.
Between the things that's up to us and the things that are not up to us.
So
the things that are in our control and the things that are not in our control.
And in real life, in real time, we just had a conversation with a young Thundercat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's essentially what both of us, the message that we were saying in different ways to him. You know, he's going on to school, kind of homesick, trying to figure things out, not comfortable, really in an uncomfortable space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's most important.
Yeah.
And that's where, when you're in an uncomfortable space, when you're in a space where you don't know left from right, all you can do is what you can control.
Yes, sir.
Or you have the choice to try to think about and figure out the things you can't control.
Mm.
Strategy. If you feel uncomfortable, let social media go for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel uncomfortable, let those social platforms go for a minute.
Yeah.
When you feel uncomfortable, figure out, begin to say, what are the strategies that make me feel strong? What are the strategies that makes me feel like I got an opportunity to control my own wherewithal? Meditation.
Yeah.
Journaling. Working out. Those things that I can do to get me back centered.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that I can control. The things I can't control, what people think about me, what people say about me, what, you know, I go to a job and you know, things may seem unfair.
Right.
When control the controllables.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and we just talking in that sense, but I want to make it very real for people. Like, think about the things that you do that you enjoy, that feed you.
Mm-hmm.
That feeds your spirit, that feeds your mind, whether that's reading the Bible, whether that's going to church, whether that's reading the Quran, whether that's, like I said, whether that's working out.
Yeah. And have the courage to do it. I had the courage to do it, bro.
You owe it to yourself.
I had the courage to do what makes you happy, man.
Do what you want to do. And understanding that what you want to do, make sure that what you want to do is not dictated by someone else's or external stimulation.
Yes, indeed.
What you want to do feeds you.
Man, like, Oak, like, I never forget, man, during the pandemic, right? Like, I don't do well with external restrictions. Like, I'm more so of a free spirit type of guy. Like, I'm a go with the wind. You know what I'm saying? I'm a vibe out. You know what I'm saying? I don't like when a person be like, well, you can't go here. You can't be around these type of people. You can't. I don't do well with that. I was the little boy when you say, don't go in the cabinet. I'm like, well, I'm straight in the cabinet. Mama pop me in the head. You know what I'm saying? That's just how my spirit works. And so during COVID, it was a difficult time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One, My industry was one of the first industries that got hit. You can't be in a room with more than 10, 11 people if you're doing a seminar. People got to be so speaking automatically cut. You're doing a virtual piece, but you can't really be around people. People feeding us, right? And so I was struggling mentally because I'm like, man, I can't really navigate how I used to navigate. And I saw it turning into frustration because I felt like I didn't have any control on how I can navigate. So I said, you know what, man? All right, what can I control? Almost every single day, if you ask my wife, I would go down to the Chattahoochee River. And I posted a lot of these pictures and videos on social. I would go down to the Chattahoochee River. I would walk the path right by the water. I would sit down on a rock almost every single day, just listen to the water, bro. Sometimes my children be out there. Sometimes my wife be out there. And it was bringing me back to center about what I can control. Cats would see me and be like, oh, Ink, man, you down at the water? They didn't know internally I was having a real battle. Yeah. And I was trying to pull the grips on my perspective, my perception, what I could control with the landscape that we were experiencing in the world. And so I always say to people, I was on a pivot and they said to me like, man, what's some advice like you got for us? Dog going crazy. Excuse my language, stuff dog going crazy. And I was like, get quiet so you can hear God.
Yeah.
And that was my way of saying like, bro, get quiet so you can lock in on what you can control. Whether it's attitude, whether it's perspective, whether it's focus. Because sometimes, man, life will have you going in all type of different directions and things will speed up on you so much. You could feel like, bro, I ain't got no control over my thoughts or over my life. You know what I'm saying?
The objective, I think, like now, we in the season of be still.
Yes, indeed.
Just be still. Because, and the reason I say that is we are far enough from 2020. Yet we're still feeling the ramifications of that season of COVID. Like the for real ramification. Yeah, you got the immediate, okay, we're going to shut down and we got the all the pivots that we have to make.
Right.
Right? But after that, you still have now what I call the ramifications of just the new world. Mm. Like, for instance, being my partner who I told you I called this morning, and I was like, man, I'm just not feeling this education thing, right? And he was like, because of COVID, it allowed people who really for real about educating people and educating young folks, we started thinking about new, innovative, and creative ways.
Absolutely.
But we're still functioning as though we're pre-COVID. And it's frustrating. So now, what can I do about it? That's the season I'm in now. Creating a mental space, creating a physical space, creating even just, you know, doing things that is so different and revolutionary and creative that it still feeds me.
Right.
That's where your frustration comes from.
Yeah.
Anytime you feel like you're not fed, you have to become introspective and figure out what is it that I'm doing or not doing that is not feeding me.
Yes, sir.
To propel me to my purpose.
Yes, sir.
It's like this. Let me ask you. Most people function off motivation.
Okay.
But to truly be transformative, to truly see your full potential, you function off of inspiration.
Yes, sir.
Motivation is external. Those are the things you can't control. I can't control whether somebody motivates me or whether I see something that's motivating or not.
Yeah.
Right? Inspiration comes from within. That means it's going to last.
Yeah.
So the things that you can control, you will always be able to execute those things. The things that you can't control, you at the whim of someone else.
Yes,
it's the difference between enslavement and empowerment.
I'm picking it up, man. I read some oak, it was so deep. It smacked me, bro. It said many of the things that we pursue, we can't control, yet we get frustrated when we can't attain them. Many of the things that we pursue, we can't control, yet we get so frustrated when we can't attain them.
That's craziness. That's insanity. That's pure insanity. Like,
sheesh.
The reason that people who look like you and I, bro, we brought across the Atlantic Ocean and we're here. And the reason that we are here because our ancestors figured out the things that they can control and passed those things along from generation to generation.
Yes, sir.
Now, the things that they couldn't control, is that psychological slavery.
Right.
So we're always in the dichotomy of we can't control how someone sees us, how someone views us, the opportunities that we may get, this, that, and the third. We can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can control, as you were saying, am I going to help this next person? Am I going to be a nice person? Am I going to give my all to something?
Yeah.
Am I going to be reflective? Am I going to be inquisitive? Am I going to be an intellectual? Mm. Am I going to press myself to be my best self?
Mm.
Am I going to see life as a challenge or see life as something that someone has put before me and I can't win anyway? So we've always lived in that dichotomy of what you can control and what you can't control. What our elders and our ancestors were trying to tell us was deal in the things you can control. If you got a mule, hook the plow up to it and walk down that line. The only thing you can't control, if it rain, it'd be too wet to plow.
Yes, sir.
But if it's dry enough, plant the field.
Yes, sir.
You can't control whether you're going to get cheated out of your crops or not. But you can control how well you grow your crops.
That's it. That's it. I got it. I got it. That's why it says, and I love this quote, but hearing what you just said put a different spin on it. When it said, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, you judge each day by the seeds that you sow. And I would always say, sow your seeds, right? But now thinking about it in terms of sowing the seeds, that's what I can control.
Yeah.
Right? I can't judge each day by the harvest. I sow my seeds. That's what I can control. But also looking at it from the standpoint of the things that give you a level of psychological safety are the things that are within your control. That's what brings you a level of psychological safety.
We're done with it.
That's it. That's it, man.
We're done with it.
That's it. That's it. Oh, man, I got a question for you, bro.
I might have to answer.
In this season, what's more important? Peace or happiness? In this season.
So are you asking it for every? Because my answer is real clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I done seen many moons.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, peace, I just want to sit on the porch and watch the grass grow.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Wow. Peace is it. Now, I understand, again, we're going back. Peace is internal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place that I live at.
Right.
Now, for a young Thundercat, they may want happiness to propel them to do the things that may bring them peace.
Peace, right.
So I a young cat who just out there, a little stallion, just got out, just boom,
mm-hmm.
out there running. They're trying to get it. They're yeah. trying to live life. They're trying to experience life. They're trying to learn, whatever, however, whoever. Okay, happiness may keep you going. But eventually, at the end of the day, when it all's said and done, and you sitting there on the porch,
yeah.
Your peace.
Your peace. That's the premium. That's the premium.
Your peace. Yeah, that's the gas that's to the far right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason I said that, man, because I thought about it twofold, like similar to you. I was giving a young cat some advice, and they were trying to make a life decision. Had been working really hard, sacrificing, doing their thing. And they wanted to do something that I felt like they weren't quite ready to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, just wait a little bit. Keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track, right? Just keep working, keep grinding, stacking a little bit. Then you're going to get to a certain point, and that decision is going to make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I ain't telling you something that I don't know. I'm telling you from mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Doing. Like, I'm telling you something that I've experienced. And they said to me, one of the things they said was when they was walking off, man, you don't want to see me happy? I said, you think I don't want to see you happy? I said, I'm trying to give you peace, man. I'm trying to make sure when you're sleeping at night, you ain't even worried about that. Like, that ain't even a thought, right? I mm-hmm. want you to be happy, but I'm trying to give you peace, right?
Two things. Peace gonna come with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Secondly, like you were saying, don't open that cabinet. Mm-hmm. What you gonna do? Go jump in that cabinet. Because you're gonna be happy. Now you dropping that cabinet, it might be some rat poison. You end up trying to eat it.
Oh, wait.
Right? But you're going to jump in that cabinet.
Definitely.
So the job of the elder is, this is happiness. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do. Do what you know, what your mind is on.
Right.
This is peace.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I got you.
No question.
Either way, I got you. Because that was a legitimate question Young Thundercat said.
Yeah.
You don't want to see me happy?
Yeah.
What I want you to experience for yourself so you can articulate for yourself
mm-hmm.
when you able to get to a place. See, I look at it like this. You're a little bull, big bull, old bull. So the little bull going to run out in the pasture. Fence open. Boom. They're going to run in the road.
Wide open.
18-wheeler may come by. Bam. Mm-hmm. Happy. Or more times than not, 18-wheeler may not come by. They just out there. You got to go find them. Got to go find them little bulls.
Yeah.
Old bull see the gate open. Old bull go walk to the gate and stand there.
Yeah.
Just wait till somebody come close. Because they trying to keep and protect everybody else.
Yeah.
So what I'm really saying is the old bull understand peace. The young bull is searching happiness.
Right.
And let them search the happiness.
Definitely.
Let them figure it out for themselves.
Definitely.
Experience for themselves. Fall flat on their face for themselves. And you right there, pick them up.
Definitely.
That's the job of the elder.
That's unconditional love.
Yes. So right now, you're a big bull.
Yeah.
You're about to move into old bull status in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So what you pressing for is, regardless of what your preferences are, you able to walk and stand on your principles. And still, even though when the young Thundercat, right,
mm-hmm.
does something, says something, goes against what you fundamentally believe,
right,
and life smacks him right in the head.
Mm-hmm.
All right, big dog.
All good.
I'm right here.
All good.
No judgment. I'm right here. We're gonna make it right. We're gonna learn from it.
It's love.
Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah.
It's love. I said to a cat one day, man, they was talking about athletes. And you know how people throw these stats, these numbers out there, the divorce rate, the bankrupt, all these numbers, right? Cat said to me, E, why can't they just do right? Or why can't a cat just save his money? Why can't a cat? I said, man, you know how hard that is, man? For somebody to go from 22 years old, get $10 million, $15 million, had $5.37 in their bank account, grew up a certain way, went without their whole life, been raised the right way,
mm-hmm.
but you know how hard that is. I said, they got to experience, you got to make some mistakes. That's just part of the course. Like what we talk, you got to go out and bump your head. You got to make some mistakes. Like, that's going to happen. Like, you can't prevent, you can't tell them, hey, man, don't do this, don't do that, because half of the people that's telling them that, stealing from them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They stealing from them anyway. They finessing them anyway. Right? So you got to make some mistakes. That's how you learn. Right? That's how you know that fire hot. That's how you know to resist. That's what makes you want to do right oftentimes. But when people say, why can't they just do right? Right? What did it say? Oh, he without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody perfect, man. Right? That's why grace is so important.
Yep.
Not only for others, but for yourself. You understand?
And going back real quick, just talking about when we were talking about talking about principles and preference. The only thing you have to do as an elder, as a parent, is whatever the principles you believe in, just teach your babies the principle.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go mess up.
Right.
Right? Prodigal son.
Yeah.
They're going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, because the prodigal son was taught some principles.
Yes, indeed.
Had enough sense, I can go back home.
Brought him back, Doc.
And for us as elders to be at peace with whatever transpires out there, that I have enough faith in the higher being that I pray to, However often you pray, that is going to bring them back. And then we're going to rectify the situation.
Yeah.
Grace, mercy, empathy, compassion. Grace, mercy, empathy, compassion. If you can incorporate those in your relationships, when you're the elder to an initiate, you're going to make the world a better place, boss. Period, point blank. I guarantee doggone to you. I promise you, bro.
Hey, man. Ain't nothing to put on top of that, man. I'm going to close this out with this quote, bro. You say, the world is before you, and you need not to take it or leave it as it was when you came in. Be better, man. Appreciate your time. Peace.